get into the Word of God. Everybody get your Bibles out, open them up here to the book of Ephesians. Ephesians chapter 5. I'm sorry, chapter 4. Ephesians chapter 4. Ephesians 4 and verse 20. Okay. Now, Paul is talking to them about things that have happened, you know, the things that they've been through and what other people are doing. And he comes in, he says, but you've not so learned Christ. If so be that you heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus. This is verse 20, if I didn't tell you. And verse 22 says that you put off concerning the former conversation, the old man, which is corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. Now, I want to give you that in the New Living here. It says, but that isn't what you learned about Christ. Since you've heard about him, since you've heard about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which is corrupted by lust and deception. Instead, let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. I like that one. I like that. Put on your new nature. Your new nature, created to be like God. Wow. That's a new concept to a lot of Christians. You all know it because we teach it to you a lot. But the Bible actually says that. It says that we have the nature and it's like God's nature. Amen. And that's what we're supposed to be doing. And notice though that it tells you to put it on. Did you see that? Put it on. Now, you know, once we received Christ, then we became a different person. You realize that, right? You were born again. I'll give you the scripture, 2 Corinthians 5:17. You ought to know it by heart by now. But it says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. And he says, old things are passed away, and behold, all things are become new. You see, when you got born again, you were recreated on the inside. You were made new on the inside. So you're not who you used to be. And you've got to get used to knowing that. You're not that person. They may look at you and you look the same, but you're not the same person. You are a new creation in Christ. Now, it's up to us to keep that new man alive. Amen. It's up to us. That's why Paul told Timothy to stir himself up. We have to make sure that we're keeping up in the newness of life. We don't want to revert back to our old lives. Come on, there's nothing about my old life that I want to go back to. Come on, and you know, if I could just make it disappear, I would. Right? Come on, I think all of us got things in our past. We'd just love to be able for it to just go away and had never been. Well, you know, in God's eyes, that's exactly the way it is. That's what I love about that. See, God says, I choose to not to remember your sins anymore. Matter of fact, he says that he takes our iniquities, our sins, and he throws them to the depths of the sea, never to be remembered again. And so if he does that, then we should do the same thing. See, it's the accuser of the brethren that comes around all the time trying to accuse and bring up our past to us and tell us how we're not worthy and, you know, we're nothing and all. He's the one that does those kind of things. But that's not what God says. God says, you may have been that old person, but that's not who you are anymore. You are now a new creature in Christ and you need to walk like it. You need to act like it. You need to talk like it. Go over here with me to Romans chapter 6. Let me show you something here. See, God wants us walking in this new life. He wants us walking as new creations. He wants us to be different from the world. Absolutely. Church, we are not like the world. We are the anointed ones. We're the sons and daughters of God. Come on now. You see, and that's the thing we got to understand. I've watched, and if you notice, royalties, okay? Royalties. And I mean, even presidents of countries and that kind of, look at their family. Watch how their family acts. Their family doesn't act like the world acts. Now, they may be if they get away from things, you know. But when you see them there, they're representing their king, their president, whoever, their dad, their mom. They're representing there for them. Okay? Well, see, we ought to be representing for our Heavenly Father at all times. And here's the thing. It's just not when we're with Him here in a church, but when we're out there among the world so the world can see that God is good. And that this life is good. Church, this is the best life you'll ever live. Being a new creature in Christ is the greatest honor in this world. To be able to be a child of God. To be able to look somebody in the face and say, I know that I'm going to heaven. And see, when you know that, you can look at them and say, how about you? Are you going to heaven? You see, that's how you represent this new creation that you are. Is you're an ambassador for Christ. You're telling people, but you've got to keep yourself stirred up. You've got to keep yourself alive if you're going to be able to get somebody else going. If you don't have some fire, you can't get somebody else on fire. Right? And I've always heard, and it's very true, you can take your candle and light somebody else's candle, and it will not take away from your candle. You get that? So see, you and I have a fire on the inside. Jeremiah says, it's like fire shut up in my bones. We have a fire in us to ignite other people if we will walk this new life out. If we'll act like God wants us to act. If we'll be what God wants us to be. Now here in Romans chapter 6, look at verse 3. He says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized unto Jesus Christ were baptized into His death. Therefore, we are buried with Him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. Notice that. He said, just like God raised Jesus from the dead, you and I have been raised up with Him. And notice that He says, we should walk in the newness of life. We should walk. Well, see, when He says we should, real quickly, I just get that indication that it means you don't have to. Right? We should. But how many know sometimes we don't do things we should? Right? And that's what Paul's telling the Romans here. He said, listen, the believers at Rome, he's telling them, he said, listen, you were raised when the Lord Jesus Christ was raised. When God raised Him up, He raised you up too. And because He came up into newness of life, then you should walk in the newness of life too. Church, we are not old sinners. We were sinners. Come on now. You were sinners. But you've been saved by the grace of God and been brought into the family of God, made children of God. And so now you are no longer sinners but saints. Not only saints, but children of God. Not only children of God, but heirs and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. So you are not who you were. Amen. You see, and so He says we should be walking in this newness of life, just like the Lord Jesus Christ when He came out of the tomb and was raised up and walked around in His newness of life, then you and I have been brought out of the tomb of sin and we've been placed here on this earth as ambassadors to Christ and we need to be walking in the newness of life that He's given us. It's time for the church to begin to act like the church and quit acting like the world. Come on, it's time for the church to get excited about what we have. Church, we have the very power of God on the inside of us that created everything you see. The Spirit of God lives on the inside of us, and we need to get excited about that. But most of the church is too busy lying around with the world. Come on. Playing with the things of the world, playing with the world to get excited about the things of God. I'm telling you something, the things of the world will pass away. They're going. And the only thing going to be left is whatever's going to be worth heaven. And I don't know about you, but I want to make sure I'm worth heaven. I want to make sure that the things I'm doing have eternal reward, not just an earthly reward for a short time. you know, and the Bible teaches that there's pleasure in sin for a season. It teaches that there's things down here that you can enjoy. But here's the thing, folks. You can't take stock in the things of the earth because it's going away. Come on now. You see, I mean, let me just kind of give it to you like this. In the world, okay, people do it all the time. We go out and we buy these big brand new automobiles, right? And we want to buy pretty ones. There's certain ones we want, and you know, we know they're outrageously now, you know, $100,000 for a pickup truck. My God. You know, something people used to go buy to haul a hound dog around in now. You know, come on. You buy that, you go to the lot, you know, now, oh, this is a nice one here. This is special. It's got this gadget and it's got that gadget and it's got all the latest deals on it, you know, and you know, it's only $120,000 more than what your house cost. Right? But you want it, and so you buy that thing. You know, you've got the payments for hell, unless you're rich, and most people aren't. You've got the payments for the next, I don't know how many years, or big payments. And you know, and here's the thing. You get in that big new thing. It smells good. It looks good. You look good in it. But the minute you hit the blacktop with it, it just dropped almost half. Did you hear what I said? It all of a sudden, that thing that's in the world that's so shiny and pretty, now its price has dropped dramatically just because now you've been in it. Now it's a used vehicle. Don't have to have a lot of miles on it. Come on now. And then if you wreck it, you know, maybe it's even worse. You know, I drive rebuilds all the time. People say, I wouldn't have a rebuild. Well, wreck yours and see what you got. It might not have a rebuild title, but it's been rebuilt. Come on now. You just got to have some good guys in the church that you can trust to rebuild one, right? Amen. Some guy. Amen. But what I'm trying to say about this, is that the things of the world, no matter how nice they are, they're going down at all times. Everything in this world is dying. Everything in this world is going away. It's rusting. It's decaying. It's leaving here. Because this world is temporary. But the things in God, the things in Christ, they're eternal. And it's not going away. And even though our bodies may get old and one of these days we may leave this earth by way of death, but you know what? The spirit man that's on the inside of us, it's going to live forever. Hallelujah. The person we really are, the new creation that we really are, is an eternal being that's going to live forever. And we've got a better place. With prettier things and greater things than we can even imagine. And it's all waiting on. People will kill and rob and steal to get a hold of gold here on this earth. Precious metal. Up there, we're going to be walking on it. Do you ever think? We're going to walk on it, man. Yes, the things that are deemed so precious here in this world, up there, God just uses them to build with. Right? It's like a 2x4. Come on. Walls of jasper, right? Gates of pearl. Come on. Think about that for a minute. Now, why in the world would you want to trade something the earth has for that? No way, man. We got to be walking this thing out. We got to be walking out the newness of life. He says we should be doing it. And I don't know about you, but I'm going to do it. How about you? I've made up my mind. I'm going to walk this thing out the way God wants us to walk it out. I think we're just getting ready to have some fun. I think it's going to just get gooder and gooder for the child of God. Satan had his chance and he lost. He lost. Did you hear me? He lost. He lost. He thought he was winning, but he lost. And God's saying it. I'm going to show you what I can do through my people, through my church, through my anointed ones that I've anointed on this earth to carry out business for me. I'm not talking about natural stuff here, folks. I'm talking about supernatural stuff that God wants to do through the church. Come on now. The devil, they tried their occult stuff and it didn't work. But Jesus, he's on the scene. So he says we ought to choose to walk in this newness of life. Now, you know, here's the thing. We have to choose. We have to choose to say when things are not going so well for us. This is the day the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. That's a choice you have. No matter how you feel. Feeling ain't got nothing to do with it. Come on now. It matters not. I'm not going to give voice to anything I feel or anything I think. I'm going to give voice to what God says. And that no matter what kind of day I'm having, this is the day that the Lord hath made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. See, you got two choices, rejoice and be glad in it, or be mournful and be sad in it. I like rejoicing and being glad in it better, don't you? Come on, I'd rather be glad. I don't know about you guys, but if I'm having a sad day, a bad day, it hurts me. On the inside, I just don't feel right. But man, when I'm having a happy day, a glad day, a rejoicing day, a day that I'm glad in the Lord, I'm telling you, I'm just stirred up. I just feel good. I feel, I kind of get like David. I feel like I can run through a troop, leap over a wall and run through a troop. Come on, don't you? Come on. And see, that's that newness of life that is in us. It's not the old man. That's the new man that's working on the inside of us. Now, look over here in Philippians chapter 4, because I just said, I'm not going to give voice to anything that I think or feel. And you can't do that. Dan, people, well, how you doing? Well, I'm going to rejoice and be glad in the Lord. You see, here's what you've got to understand. For most people, you've got to act like you're a politician when you're given a report. Because, they'll ask them a question and they never answer the question. Right? When they ask you the question, how you do it? And maybe you're not doing so well at the time. You don't lie to them and say, well, I'm just doing the greatest in the world. No. Here's what you do. This is the day the Lord's made. I'm going to rejoice and be glad in it. Yeah, but how are you feeling? Well, I feel like I'm the healed of God in Jesus' name. Right? I'm going to give them some scripture. I'm going to tell them what the Word says. Right? You see, because you don't want to give voice to what you are feeling, because that's exactly what the devil wants you to do. He wants you to give voice to how you feel or what. Well, what do you think about that? It don't matter what I think. I've got the mind of Christ, and therefore I'm going to think what God would think about the situation. And He calls those things that be not as though they were. Amen. So you see, when we start looking at these things and we start seeing it in the Word of God, that's what we have to do. Here in Philippians chapter 4, verse 6, here's what Paul tells the church of Philippi. He says, be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. Did you see that? Notice that he didn't say with moanings and groanings and crying and wailing and begging and pleading, make your requests be known with God. You see that? He said with thanksgiving, make your requests. Wait a minute, Pastor. I'm just now asking for it. How can I be glad about it if I'm in a shape here? Nobody knows the trouble I'm in, right? How in the world can I be thankful? Well, you see, that's just it. That's what you got to get past. You got to make the choice. Yeah, nobody might not feel how I feel. Nobody know how I feel. But God does, and God's got my answer. And so therefore, when I make my request to Him, I'm going to be thankful before I ever get the answer. I'm already knowing that God knows where I'm at. God's already got the answer. He's already working all things together for good. So when I make my request be known to Him, I'm going to do it through thankfulness. Thank you, Lord. I quit asking God to heal me. You know what I say? Thank you, God, for my healing. That's what I say. Every day I say, thank you, God, for my healing. Thank you, God, for my prosperity. Thank you, God, for my favor. Why? Because in the past I asked Him for it. And I believe He's already given it to me. So now I'm going to walk in that. Now it's thanksgiving and praise and giving Him. I'm watering what I've already sowed a long time ago. I don't pray for Pastor Ed's healing anymore. I thank Him for it all the time. I thank Him for you guys all the time. I mean, every night in my prayers, I'm thanking you, Lord God, for the New Generation Church. Thank you, God, for the people of New Generation. Thank you that they're the healed of God. Thank you, Father, that they're prosperous and blessed. Come on, I'm praying it over you because I know that's God's will for you. And so I'm not going to get into the moaning. Yeah, we all got some things sometimes, but that's not what we're going to focus on. We're going to focus on the goodness of God and the fact that in God's eyes, it's already a done deal. There's nothing too big for God. You don't have a problem in this world that God can't fix and is not already working on it. And so you have to keep pressing in by making your request be known to God through thanksgiving. Let's not stop. Let's read on just a little bit. You do this, then the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Those things which you've both learned and received and heard and seen in me, do. And the peace of God shall be with you. Notice that. He says, listen, don't dwell on all this other stuff. Make sure you're dwelling on the things that are lovely and honest and pure and of good report. Make sure what you do is things that you've seen in the Word of God that God told you to do. Come on. You got to understand when Paul's writing this to the church of Philippi, you know, this is a letter sent to them. The Bible's not been put together yet. This is a letter from Paul to them to tell them, you watch my life. The things the God you see me do, that's what you do. Because we have the Word of God. So we can look at this and look at Paul's life, but we also can look at the Word that tells us what we should do. And those are the things that we're to do, no matter what's going on in our life, no matter what the situation is. And see, that's how we're walking ourselves in the newness of life. We're keeping our mind focused. We're doing the things of God, and we're not thinking on the things of the world. See, because if we're thinking and praying and doing the things of God, it will bring peace to our life. You can't focus on the world. Folks, I'm going to tell you something. You focus on this world and you'll get disheartened. Come on now. You know, you can get mad about the price of eggs, but here's the thing about it. You know, you can just believe God that you're always going to have the money to buy the eggs. Don't matter if they get $100 or a dozen. Why? Because I know my God will take care of me. If he took care of the prophet down by the brook when there was a drought and nobody had no food and he took care of him, he'll take care of me. And if one of my desires is, I'm delighting myself in the Lord and he grants me the desires of my heart. If one of my desires is to have some eggs, I'll have eggs. Come on. You see, I mean, it's up to you where you want it. You're more than a conqueror through the Lord Jesus Christ. So you will make it. Look at your neighbor and say, I'm not just going to make it, I'm going to excel. Yeah. See, that's the attitude you've got to have. I don't want to just barely make it, do you? I've heard folks say that about heaven. Well, if I can just make it through the gates. No, I don't want to just make it through the gates. When I get to heaven, I want to have so many rewards thrown down to me that I have to get a wheelbarrow and roll them over to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, here, these ain't because of me, they're because you was in me. I don't want to just barely make it through. I want to excel. I want to be ruler over many, don't you? Come on, well done, thou good and faithful servant. You've been faithful over a few things. I'll make you ruler over many. See, some folks got this ideal. When we get to heaven, we're just going to go up there and just, hallelujah. We might do a lot of that. But I believe God's got things for us to do. I don't know what. We don't get enough. We've not got enough in the Word of God to tell us. But to be ruler over many tells me that, something going on. And He needs some rulers. Come on, church. Well, I wonder who He would pick to rule. Probably a son and a daughter, a king and a priest unto Him. That'd probably be His first choice, right? Come on, somebody. That's why you need to be walking this thing out. I don't want to go up there and be the gardener. I mean, I'm going to get there. Don't get me wrong. Gardener be not better than not getting there. But I'd rather be the ruler over many. And I know somebody, well, you're just greedy. Yep. When it comes to things of God, it just call me greedy. If you don't want yours, I'll take it. Amen. Come on. Because, see, it's part of my inheritance. And if you don't want your inheritance, then one of the other children will take it. I just happen to be one of them other children. Right? Come on now. So we're walking this thing out. And he says, you know, we've got to be thinking on these things and keeping our mind focused. Now, in Acts chapter 4, and I'll just go ahead because of the sake of time. And in Acts chapter 4, if you remember, Peter and John went up to the gate in Acts chapter 3. They healed the cripple that was outside the gate. And from there on over into chapter 4, we're having a time. They're just, I mean, the religious leaders are perplexed because something good got done. Ooh, that sounds like today, don't it? The religious leaders, they're tore up because something good got done. This man got, a cripple got healed. And they're freaking out. I mean, they're mad about it. And they take Peter and John, they get them up there, and you know, and they say, well, what happened here? And they tell them plainly that it was the Lord Jesus Christ that did it. And they tell them, you know, we don't want you preaching in this man's name anymore. You plan to bring this man's innocent blood on our hand, you know. And Peter just, you know, he just looks at them and says, listen, we're going to obey God rather than man. And they couldn't find anything to beat them over. So they let them go, warned them again, don't be preaching in the name of Jesus. And the Bible says that they returned to their own company. They returned to their own company. Why? Because they'd been threatened. They was going to beat them. They'd been brought up before the courts. And all this is going on. And they come to their own company. And when they come to their own company, then what happens is they begin to tell them what's happened. And immediately they all start praying. And they start praying to God that not that God would get them. Did you notice that? Not that God would get them. But they begin to pray, God, give us more boldness, that we can speak the word of God freely, and that we can extend the hand of Jesus to heal. They begin to say, God, we want more. And the Bible says the place was shaken and we're all filled with the Holy Ghost again. Now, the reason I bring that story to your mind is this. You see, if you want to walk this thing out in the newness of life, it's a good idea for you to find people of like faith that you can associate with, so when you are having a bad day, when maybe you are going through something, that they can... Did you hear? I want people that know how to pray a prayer of faith, because if it ain't a prayer of faith, it ain't a prayer. Come on, if it's not in faith, it's sin, the Bible says. Whatsoever is not of faith is sin. So I want people that I know praying, that are praying for me. When I had these stents put in, I told the leadership, I said, don't come. Didn't I, guys? I said, don't. I'm up here. I'm doing fine. Don't come. You just pray for me. Why? Because I trusted their prayers was just as good as them come up there and looking at my ugly face. Come on. They might have been able to pray better not looking at me. I don't. But I knew it was all right because I knew they were praying with me. Because, see, that's what we do here at this church. We pray for one another. When you ask this church to pray for you, you better start expecting results. Because it's going to happen. Because we're going to pray in faith. We're going to pray according to the Word of God, and it's going to come to pass. Amen. It's going to come to pass. It not might going to come to pass. It's going to come to pass. And the only thing can stop it is you if you're not in agreement. Come on, because, you know, ain't nobody can override your will. But if you get in line, and if we get in line with the Word of God and the will of God, and we got everybody praying together, man, things can happen. So it's important for us, as we're walking out our newness of life, to make sure that we get some folks that we can talk to, and iron sharpeneth iron. And, you know, you need to find somebody that you can talk about your faults to. Huh? Oh, and I just adjust your halo. I know y'all are perfect. But I need somebody sometimes that I can talk about my faults to. Things I struggle with. Come on. Things that get on my nerve. Things that aggravate me. You see, and as a pastor, I don't have a big area to do that, because a lot of people think pastors ought to be perfect. And I got news for you, we're not. We're saved, we're anointed, but we're people just like you. And we have problems just like you. The only difference is, most of the time, pastors get put up on a pedestal, or leadership gets put up on a pedestal, and everybody thinks they don't ever have any struggles. And if you mention you having a struggle, then all of a sudden, their confidence or their thoughts about you just dwindle down. But you see, that's why I try to be real before you, because I want you to know. The only reason, I like what Paul says, I just am by what I am by the grace of God. Amen. And I thank God for that grace. And I do try to walk in the newness of life at all times, but there are times that I can go to my pastor and we can just sit and talk. I have people that come to me and they just want to sit and talk. And it's what we know, what's said is kept there. Amen. See, you're looking at me real funny. I can't believe you would say so. Yeah. I got to walk this thing out just like you do. I got to walk in the newness of life just like you do. I got to cast down imaginations just like you do. I got to bring every thought into captivity just like you do. We all got to do the same thing, because we live in this fleshly body and we're here on this natural earth, and we have to all make sure we're listening to our spirit man that's on the inside of us if we're going to walk this thing out the way we need to walk this thing out. Amen. So here they are. And they went to their own company. They found somebody they could go to, talk about what they were going through. And instead of them, you know, getting mad and fighting and, well, I tell you what, let's do. Let's just revolt. No, they just went ahead and prayed to God, because God was the one that could fix it. And He fixed it by a good dose of the Holy Ghost. Right? They went right back out and started preaching with boldness and doing what they were supposed to be doing. Now, with that same thing, let me just say this too. You have to, if you're going to walk this thing out, you have to be careful about, matter of fact, if you go read that over there, and I should have probably read it over in Acts chapter 4, it says at the end there that great grace was upon them all. Great grace was upon them all after that happened. But just in the reverse of that, having the wrong people around you can have just the opposite effect. Having good people around you can help you and strengthen you and make you stronger. But having the wrong people around you can absolutely affect your life. According to the Word of God, 1 Corinthians 15:33 says, "Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners." Now, if you just read that, you kind of like, yeah, what? You know, what are you talking about here? Well, Paul says it this way here in the Amplified. "Do not be so deceived and misled. Evil companionships, communion, associations, corrupt and depraved good manners and morals and characters." Evil companions, associations. Notice that. Associations. People that you're around a lot. You need to make sure you're used to hanging around people that are godly people. Now, it's not to say you can't be around lost people. You've got to get lost people saved. But I'm talking about when he's talking about here, when you're yoked up together. When you're, you know, if you're besties with somebody that's lost, you have to really, really, really guard yourself, because you'll pick up habits off of them. You hope that they pick up habits off of you that are godly habits. But it's been my experience, and I've seen it happen so many times in marriage, when two people get married and they're not both born again, they'll always say, and most of the time the woman's saved, the man's not, "I can change him. I can change him." And what happens is he changes her, and the next thing you know, they're both back out in the world again. I've seen it happen so, so many times, you know, because, you know, the thing is, it's sad to say, but the devil's crowd is more brave or more brazen than God's crowd is most of the time. Come on. And it's pretty well true, right? I mean, they don't care what they say to you or what they talk about you, what they say about you, but you try to be nice. Sometimes you have to just stand up and declare the Word of God over them and say, you know, if you don't want, this is who I am. If you don't like me the way I am, then you and I can't be friends. I'm not mad at you. I'm not against you and nothing like that. But I just can't associate with you, because me and you ain't going down the same path. I know that's hard. I know that's tough. Let me give it, the contemporary English version says it this way. Don't fool yourselves. Bad friends will destroy you. And it's true. They will. You know, and that happens a lot of times. People get saved and, you know, they've had a bad crowd that they ran with and finally they come to Jesus. And for some reason they think they can go back to that bad crowd and they'll be all right. Now you got to separate yourself. Come ye out from among the world, the Bible teaches you, and be a separate people. You've got to learn to find people of like faith so that you can share your faith with them and you can talk about the things of God to them and talk about the things you're going through, the struggles you're having, and you'll be encouraged of the Lord. Right? You know, I mean, it's amazing to me how many people, maybe they're having trouble in their marriage. Instead of them finding a good, godly couple that's been married for 20, 30, 40 years, they go find somebody been divorced 5 times. Man, I've had a lot of experience, I'll tell you that. Yeah, failing. If you want to fail, that's exactly the person you want to get. But if you want to get to be able to succeed in your marriage, you need to find somebody that's succeeding and excelling in marriage. And they'll tell you flat up that it ain't been easy. That they've had to struggle, they've had faults, they've had times, you know. But through it all, they remained in love with one another and in love with the Lord. And that's what kept them together. Amen. You see, so when we talk about this thing, we got to be careful who our associations are, who we're around and stuff. And we don't want to let that bring us down. I'll give you an example from the Word of God. And again, I've got to hurry. I know it's Wednesday night. Kids got school tomorrow. But if you go over and look, let me see what chapter it is and then I'll summarize. 2 Samuel chapter 13, verses 1 through 5. Okay. David's got a son named Amnon. He's also got a daughter. Now, I believe, if I'm understanding it right, it is Amnon's stepsister. But the Bible says that he fell in love with his sister so much that he was sick. He was, and I would call it probably more lust than love, the way the Bible describes it and the way it ends up. But he's so much after that he's sick to the point that the Bible says that Amnon had a friend. And his friend was his first cousin. And his friend had been around him enough to know. He said, "Something wrong with you, man." I'm paraphrasing, okay? "Something's wrong with you. What's going on with you?" And finally Amnon tells him, he says, "Well, I'm in love with my sister and I realize there's just nothing I can do about that, you know, there's nothing I can do with that." And his friend says, "Well, you know what? You're the king's son. So what you ought to do is you ought to just go to the send a message to the king, tell the king that you're sick and that you want your sister to come and take care of you." And so that's what he does. And when she comes and she starts trying to take care of him, when she's in there, he puts all the men out of the room and then he just really rapes her. That's what he does. And she's begging him, "No, don't do that. I'm sure if you ask the king, he'll give me to you." Okay, but no, that didn't do it. And so the Bible says after he did that, then he hated her more than he loved her. So that's why I'm telling you, I think it was a spirit of lust that was there. So here's what goes on. She leaves. Her brother, that's her full brother, sees her, now sackcloth and ashes, crying. And he realizes, he asks her and finds out what's going on. And he tells her, "Don't say a word yet. Don't tell nobody." But the king ends up finding out. Later on, Absalom, who is the brother, he decides he's throwing this big sheep shearing party. And he wants them all to come down. And the king says, "No, I'm not getting involved and I don't want to come down." He says, "Well, please, just let Amnon come down." So all the sons go down. They're having this big party. And Absalom gives the directions to his people. He says, "When he's pretty drunk and I give you the word, kill him." And that's exactly what happens. They fall on him. They kill him. All the brothers run and scatter to get away because they don't know what's going on. They don't know that they're not all going to get killed. But the whole point was just to get him. And so David gets word back from a messenger that all the sons have been killed down. Absalom's killed them all. And of course, David is just beside himself. And guess what? There stands the little friend right there where David's at and says, "Oh, don't worry, King. all your sons are not dead. Now, he wasn't there. How do you know this? Because he knew what was going getting ready to happen. All your sons are not dead. He just killed Amnon because of what he did to Tamar. And here come the messengers and here come the sons, and that's exactly what had happened. Now, I brought that to you to show you this. The Bible says that he was Amnon's friend. You know what a friend would have said? A friend would have told him, when he told him, "I want my sister," he would have said, "Yeah, you're the king's son." But what he would have said is, "All you have to do is just go to your dad and tell your dad that you want her as your wife, and I'm sure he'll give her to you." And he probably would have. But that's not what his friend did. His friend devised a plan for him to do evil and then stood back and watched it as it destroyed him. See, that's why it's really careful. You got to be real careful about who friends you got. I read a little thing on the Facebook the other day, talked about, you know, when people desert me when I'm going through something, it said, you know, I'm not watching to see who does so I can get even. I'm watching to see who deserts me so I know to stay away from them from now on. Because I don't want to let them back into my hemisphere. Think about that for just a minute. Because if they deserted you because you were going through something, they weren't your friends in the first place. Even though they was cousins, he wasn't Amnon's friend. Or he would have helped him the right way. Or maybe even told him, "You just need to get that out of your mind. Just get away from that." But back then it was allowed. They did those kind of things, okay? But I wanted to show you that to just show you, you know, if you're going to walk in this newness thing, you got to make sure who you're around. And here's the thing. Your spirit will know what's right. Right? Come on. The Holy Spirit in you will know what's right. Don't let anyone or anybody else bring you down to their level. Amen. You take the high road. I don't care what they are doing. Come on, somebody, you get around somebody and they're ragging on the pastor, you just go to take the high level and say, you know, touch not thine anointed or knew thy prophets no harm. I'm going to stay away from that. I don't want to get myself in trouble by mouthing off. Right? Or say something like, "We just need to pray for them." That'll shut most of the people that are talking up. Because, see, they don't know how to pray or they'll be praying instead of blabbing. Come on now. People blabbing against you? Yeah. You just need to tell them, "Well, you need to be praying for me, not blabbing on me." Romans 12:2 says this, "I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God," this is verse 1, "that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God." You see, here's the thing. I'm going to end with this. You just need to keep yourself before God. Keep your thinking toward God. Keep your face before God. Keep yourself renewed in the Word of God. And I promise you, you can continue to walk in the newness of life no matter what anybody else is doing. You're going to be okay. Amen? Come on, stand to your feet with me. Hallelujah. Thank you. Let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, Lord, we're going to walk this thing out. Lord, we're going to walk in our newness of life. You created us new creatures just like you want us to be. And Father, we're going to walk it out according to the Word of God. We're going to pray. We're going to seek your faith.